Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you for your word. We thank you that we can read it, and we pray now that you will open our hearts to understand it more deeply, and that understand it more deeply, it may change us to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, sadly, through the pandemic, we have learnt a little bit about what isolation means. Maybe us not personally, but maybe people that you know, and many people, of course, have suffered because of it, with tragic consequences: depression, loneliness, fear, and so on. Some of us here this morning or listening online, excuse me, may have suffered or are even still suffering because of it. Well, in today's reading, of course, we know and see someone who indeed knew all about separation because he was a leper. But before I look at him more clearly, we can see from this reading that we've had this morning from Matthew's Gospel that the kingdom of God has arrived in power. In these few verses, we have three miracles of healing that are detailed for us, and we're told there are many others too. Matthew here is clearly demonstrating that the kingdom of heaven has arrived through Jesus Christ. So let's have a look at it more clearly. So we have a man here with leprosy, which meant that he was physically separated from others, from his family, from his friends, from society. He was isolated. And we can just begin to understand what that must be like. But he was also suffering because of his appearance, which has radically changed as well. And I've met many leprosy patients when we worked in central Thailand. And very often their face is disfigured. They have a sunken nose, especially if the leprosy is not being got early. They may have lost fingers and toes and so on. So this man here is suffering not only because of his isolation, but because of the disease of leprosy itself. And yet we see here a leper who understood something about Jesus. He understood the power of Jesus to heal, and he understood a little bit, at least, of who Jesus was, because he addressed him as Lord. And he said this: "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Interesting words. He was a man who desperately wanted to be accepted back into society, to be free from separation. He wanted to have those relationships with others, which of course we are created to have. But you note that Jesus did something quite remarkable. If you have a look in verse 3. What was it that was so remarkable that people around will have gasped at? Well, he did this. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. Lepers were untouchable. They were unclean. But Jesus touched the man. Even that in itself would have been a great comfort to the leper. But more than that, we see that Jesus wanted to heal him. Jesus said, "Yes, I want to make you better. I want to heal you." And so he spoke the words, "Be clean." And the man was healed. It wasn't quite the end of the story, though, because the man had to then obey what Jesus said. He had to go and show himself to the priest, who would then declare him clean and able to go back into society. So the man too would have been obedient to what Jesus said. But we see here the power of the kingdom of heaven at work. We see it bring in physical healing, but also the agony of separation is ended. And of course, this is an obvious miracle, but we have a picture here of the spiritual healing that only Jesus himself can bring, cleansing us from our wrongdoing and ending our separation from God. so important that God, through Jesus Christ, has made that possible to grant us forgiveness and to bring us close to him. Then we have the second miracle of the healing of the centurion's servant. And again, we see God's purpose and desire to heal in verse 7. Jesus offers, "Shall I come and heal him?" he says when he hears about the servant. This is the purpose of God, to bring healing. This is his desire. But the centurion, of course, has such faith that he says, "Oh, you don't need to come. Just say the word and I know that my servant will be healed." What faith. And of course, this is what happens if we look at verse 13. Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you have believed it would." And at that moment, the servant was healed. So we see not only does Jesus demonstrate healing, but we see that distance is no object. That should encourage us in our prayers, shouldn't it? That distance is no object. And again, in the third miracle, we see Jesus' desire to heal again. Because he goes into Peter's house and he sees Peter's mother-in-law with a fever. Jesus saw it for himself. So he didn't wait for somebody to tell him to come. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. Jesus' desire to heal. Jesus taking the initiative here and again touching her by his hand. We all need the touch of Jesus in our lives. There's some lovely songs, aren't there, that we used to sing years ago about the touch. When I feel the touch of God upon my life, it causes me to sing. God's purpose and authority we see here is to bring healing. And even more, look at verse 16. Not in detail are we told about these, but we see that many who were demon-possessed came. And he drove out the evil spirits with a word. And also, he healed everyone who was ill. The power of God is demonstrated through Jesus in all its fullness. And so we see the power of God to overcome disease and bring healing, to overcome distance and to overcome demons. God is greater than any demon. Yes, Satan is still at large in our world, but he is on a leash, and so are the demons. And God is much greater and more authority and power. And also we see that through this, the separation of those who put their trust in Jesus is ended. Our faith is justified. Demons are defeated. This is God at work through Jesus, his Son. Does this encourage you? Does it fire you up this morning to say, "Yes, hallelujah"? You know, sometimes even Christians kind of look out there and say, you know, yes, I do have a faith, but I'm a little bit. No, we've got a great faith, we've got a great God, we've got a powerful God, and we should be proclaiming it. So what do these passages mean for you and me? We need to be assured that God's purpose and his desire for each of his created people is to bring healing and to bring us into an intimate relationship with him so that we are not separated. He wants to touch your life and my life for good. He wants you to be healed in body, mind, and spirit. And that's why Matthew, in that last verse that was read to us in verse 17, he quotes a verse from Isaiah, where Isaiah prophesies that Jesus will take up our infirmities and bore our diseases. This is what Jesus did on the cross. He died in my place. He died in your place so that we can be made clean to bring us healing. And Jesus still heals today. He brings spiritual healing. He brings forgiveness. He gives us a new start. But he brings physical healing too. And he wants to do it through you and me today. We are his people. We are the church. You and me. Do you remember in John 14, what did he say to his disciples? Jesus said, "You are to continue my work and do even greater things." What? Yes, Jesus said we are to continue his work. How? Not in our own strength, that's for sure, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And didn't we see when the power of the Holy Spirit had come down on the early church? What happened? When John and Peter went to pray in the temple, their church, they went there and they saw a lame beggar before they went in. And they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And the lame beggar stood up and he was healed and he went into the church and praise God. Hallelujah. Is that what we want to see here at St. George's? Is that what we want to see among our family and friends and colleagues? We can't do anything of ourselves, but by God's power enabling us, we can. James 2 reminds us that when people are sick, we have to pray that they are healed. So you and me are called to spread the good news that through Jesus Christ, we don't need to be separated from God. We can get to know him through Jesus Christ, who can be our friend and our Savior, our Redeemer. We can be forgiven for our wrongdoing and put our trust in him. And we can receive God's power of the Holy Spirit so that we can pray for others to be healed. It's challenging. We don't like to step out in faith, but that's what faith is about. Luther said faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. A living, daring confidence in God's grace. Is that the kind of confidence that you have in Jesus Christ? We have someone here sitting amongst us this morning who will testify. Yes, she had medical treatment. Some of it not very nice, but she's sitting here this morning and she knows that it was God who healed her. And we prayed very much that that would happen. But you say, "Just a minute though, I've prayed for somebody and they weren't healed." And that becomes the stumbling block because we are then afraid. But actually, when we pray, God always answers our prayers. And yes, it's not sometimes in the way that we would like. It's not always the physical healing that we've been praying for. But if we pray for somebody, God always touches their lives. Always touches their lives for good. As I told you not long ago, I have a very good friend of a family where they lost their son, a wonderful Christian, at the age of 45, leaving three little girls. Why? I don't know. We prayed. The church prayed. Loads of people were praying. But it was his time to go to be with the Lord. And when he was in the last days, he said, "I'm just ready to go." We need to pray for healing. We can do it. We're broken vessels. We're not like Jesus. Jesus was fully God. So his power was infinite. Ours isn't because of who we are. We are broken vessels. But God's Holy Spirit is with us and we can pray for others to be healed. And you say, "Oh well, I don't have as much faith as so and so." What did Jesus say? "Even if you have faith as small as a mustard seed." No excuses there, is there? You see, faith is like a muscle and the more we use it, the greater our faith becomes. And you remember in Mark's Gospel when there was that father who had a sick boy. And the father said this, "I do believe, help my unbelief." That can be our prayer too, can't it? Yeah, we believe what we'd like to believe in better. So will we pray for healing, both spiritual and physical, for those in need? It's often been said, if we don't pray for healing, we won't see healings. But when we do pray for healing, we'll certainly see some. And in 1 John 4, verse 4, we're reminded that he that is in us, the power of God through the Holy Spirit, is greater than he that is in the world. God's power, through the power of his Holy Spirit, he is with us, and it's greater than Satan and all the demons. Time and again in Scripture, we are encouraged to be bold. Do not be afraid. Be bold. Our faith and expectation should be shaped by our daily experience of the power of the Holy Spirit with us. Will we pray? Will we be a church that prays in this way? So that we can see demonstrated amongst us, even as it was in the early church, that healings happen, both physical and spiritual. And then, very briefly, I have to just make a comment, of course, on the centurion's faith. Because he had such faith that he said to Jesus, you just say the word, even though you can't see my servant, I know you'll heal him. That was some faith. And this is a non-Jew, someone like you and me. But Jesus affirms his faith, but he also gives a warning. And verse 11, he says this, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What did that mean? Well, the Jews would know exactly what that meant, because they were thinking of the banquet of the Messiah when Jesus comes again. The Jews were looking forward to this banquet with the Messiah, but they thought that because they were Jews, they would be the only ones sitting down to be with the Messiah. But actually, even from the beginning of time, if they'd read the scriptures properly, from the time of Abraham, right at the beginning of our Bible, we were told, God told Abraham, that it would be people from all over the world who would share in God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus confirms this when he affirms the faith of the centurion, a non-Jew. And he says people will come from east and west and all over, and they will be in the kingdom of heaven. And those who were relying on their race, like the Jews were, to get them into the kingdom, if they're not trusting in Jesus Christ, they'll be thrown out. Jesus is speaking clearly here that admittance to the kingdom of God is through faith alone. Race, ethnicity, religion, status, profession, whatever, cannot get you into the kingdom of God. It is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is the prerequisite to enter the kingdom of God. Simply putting trust in Jesus Christ. And that is what Jesus says here. To speak to the Jews and saying, you need to be warned. You think you're going to be at the feast at the kingdom of heaven, but unless you trust in Jesus, the Messiah, you will not be there. So affirmation for the centurion of great faith, but also a warning to those who do not trust in Jesus Christ, that they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But I pray that everyone here in church this morning, or maybe you are watching online, has entered into the kingdom of heaven through trust in Jesus Christ. He is the one who, as it says here, took up our infirmities, bore our diseases. He died on that cross. He died in my place. He died in your place, to pay the price of my sin, my wrongdoing, your wrongdoing. Wow. That's amazing. That Jesus would do that for you and for me. And if we put our trust in Jesus and ask for his forgiveness and try with his help to follow him, we are assured that we have life for eternity, life in the kingdom of heaven. But if you're still one of those who dithers or is not sure, Jesus says today is the day of salvation. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, never condemned, but accepted into God's kingdom. So today, Jesus is reaching out his hands to touch you afresh, to challenge you to pray more for those who need it. And for those who don't yet know him, he's reaching out his hand to ask you to accept his offer of salvation, which he earned on the cross for each one of us. So let's respond to him to be cleansed and healed, and then to follow the works that he did around us with our family, friends, and colleagues. Amen.